This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. It's time for the Klang Valley's biggest conversation, Talk Back on the Evening Edition, only on BFM 89.9.
That's right, it's Talk Back. You're with Caroline and Ezra. And this evening, of course, if you want to participate in our conversation, you can call us at 03-77-109-000. You can text us 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. And this evening, the topic revolves around political sensibilities, West and East Malaysia. Caroline.
Yeah, so we've just come off elections in Sarawak. This was on Saturday, where Sarawak Barisan won 72 out of 82 seats in the 11 state polls. Now, in the aftermath of their thumping victory, we've seen the online discourse take on a rather ugly tone, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been really interesting because there have been a lot of commentary about, you know, the type of voting patterns that we're seeing in Sarawak. Some of it is informed, some of it is ill-informed. But there was a particular op-ed by Philip
Mr. Philip Golingai.
Yes. And it was written in Star Online, and he had some interesting points to mention.
Yes. So he called it out. He labelled the behaviour as zombie syllogism. This is the trend of equating a political vote to inherent stupidity, essentially. And in addition to providing a more contextual sort of overview of the political landscape in Sarawak, he put forth some very sobering questions for West Malaysians. Because, you know, you're hearing rhetoric, or if you look at what's happening on the social media online, people saying, you know, Malaysia is better off without Sarawak. That is supportive of racism and corruption. Sarawakians are not welcome in West Malaysia. They can keep their Sarawak, hornbills and orangutans, that sort of thing. And that's not necessarily new for us, isn't it? We saw this after GE13.
Yeah, and I think maybe the reality is that it's a lot more complicated than that. Maybe our political sensibilities and our maturities are so different, just even within Peninsula Malaysia, but especially so when you compare it to East and West Malaysia. And we're going to sort of ask a lot of different questions this evening. You know, do West Malaysians feel a sense of disconnect from Sabah and Sarawak? Are Malaysians well-versed with the nuances involved in local and national politics?
Yeah, that's right. So some of the questions that Philip raised was whether or not West Malaysians are politically ignorant, whether we have a holier-than-thou attitude about politics, whether we're brainwashed to think a specific way, are we black and white, are we political zombies, he posits. So today we'd like to explore these dynamics, and when you vote, who exactly are you voting for? What are you voting for? Do you think East Malaysians have the same priorities? Do you think West Malaysians have a sense of disconnect from their fellow Malaysians in the East?
Yeah, and you know, this evening, of course, the number is 03-77-109-000. We'd love to hear from as many folks from Sarawak who are working and living in the Klang Valley. We'd love to hear your opinions and your thoughts on this as well.
Essentially, tell us whether or not you think Malaysians are smart voters.
That's right. And we're going to actually kick things off with a little conversation that I had with Tina Carmila. She is one of our colleagues here at BFM with The Bigger Picture. And here's our conversation. Tina, you're from Sarawak.
Yes.
And you're living and working right now here at BFM in West Malaysia. Do you think there's a sense of disconnect between West Malaysians and East Malaysians?
Yes, definitely. I think what we in East Malaysia, what we want are very basic things that over in West Malaysia is taken for granted. Things like access road, things like 24-hour electricity, things like water, running tap water. So things that we want are things that it doesn't even cross the minds of the people over here. So that's, I would say, is the most stark difference in what we feel are priorities or necessities.
In those priorities, does that affect how Sarawakians vote?
So where I come from, Bukit Semuja is my where I voted, which is one of the new 11 new constituencies that was created, and this is carved out of two rural constituencies, Kedup and Tebedu, which are considered rural. So Bukit Semuja is somewhere halfway in between urban and the rural area. And especially in the urban and semi-urban areas, voters are practical. They know what they want, and they know that if they vote based on people or based on policies that are either already in place or going to be implemented, they're going to go for it. So it's not so much of, I think the politics there is very different. It's very practical and necessity-based, not so much race-based that's being practiced here.
Are Sarawakians aware of how West Malaysians view them and how they view their politics?
I think in the urban areas where there are more communication channels, I think they are aware of how West Malaysians perceive our politics. But we are also, we don't really care, to be fair, because we care first for ourselves, because we are already living in so much, in a dire state. So we don't care what you guys think, as long as within the state level, things are being done to improve on the current condition. And in the last 2 years, the chief minister has done a lot, so much more than the last 33 years from his predecessor at the helm.
That was our colleague, Tina Carmila, from the Bigger Picture team. She was actually in Sarawak during the elections. And I always find it interesting once you actually speak to somebody from East Malaysia.
Yeah.
And just to get an insight. And that insight is so important because it really checks a lot of your conception or misconceptions that you may have. And it's not all cut and dry. It's not so simple to equate a political party with a particular value.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is what that article that I mentioned a little earlier by Philip Golinga, he pointed out. He says, you know, when as a Sabahan, he does wonder why people say such things. You know, are they politically ignorant? Have they ever flown out of Malaysia and visited Sabah and Sarawak? Perhaps they visualize Baleh, which is a remote Sarawak state seat bordering Kalimantan, Indonesia. They think of a Subang Jaya state seat. You know, he lives in Subang Jaya. He's been to Baleh. Subang Jaya is just a dot compared with Baleh. That is the size of Kelantan. Baleh is the only 100% Iban constituency in Malaysia, but how many people actually know that to be able to make these comments?
Absolutely. You know, we're asking you the question, are Malaysians smart voters? You know, are we well-versed with the nuances involved in local and national politics? Do West Malaysians feel a sense of disconnect from Sabah and Sarawak? The number to call is 03-77-109-000. You can text us 016-201-9000 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Very quickly, a message that came in, this one saying, the Bidayus that go to church, the church that I go to, are lovely folk.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, that's very nice then. That's an interesting way to kick off the conversation. Folks, we're asking you, are Malaysian smart voters? The number once again is 03-77-109-000. Got some music by Stephen Maltmus and the Jicks. Larry at BFM 89.9.
03-77-109-000 to talk back. BFM 89.9.
It's Talk Back with Caroline and Ezra. The number to call once again is 03-77-109-000. We're asking you, are Malaysians smart voters? We've just come off the elections in Sarawak. And we want to know whether West Malaysians feel a sense of disconnect from Sabah and Sarawak. Are Malaysians well-versed with the nuances involved in local and national politics? Tell us what you think. We're going to take some texts from you as well. 016-201-9000 is the number to send that in. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. And we also have a poll happening on our website, on our Twitter website, rather, twitter.com/BFM Radio.
Yeah, we're asking whether or not West Malaysians feel a sense of disconnect from Sabah and Sarawak so far. Three quarters of the answers have voted yes.
All right, we're going to hear from Surin, who's our first caller of the day. Hi, Surin. Surin, are you there? Oh, unfortunately, Surin is not there. Do try call us back at 03-77-109-000. Moving on to our second caller of the day, Daniel is on the line. Hi, Daniel.
Hello.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi.
Tell us what you think.
Okay. I've never been to Sarawak, and I was given a chance, given that my company does work for the government. So we do a lot of rural buildings for them. So closer to election, we have to launch all these buildings so that they look good.
Mm.
So I've been to, my first one was in Ladong or Simunjan. It's outskirts. If you were to really travel out, we take the ferry, we take the road. It's very bad out there. Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah? And then you always think to ourselves that we here, we have everything. And then they actually, water also don't have.
And did that surprise you?
Yes, it did. You know, and then the people are nice. We did event there, so I had to engage my event vendor there.
Mm.
So we, of course, we exchange stories about how terrible things are and how bad politics can be.
Right, and considering the elections ended this way, then was that a surprise? I take it it wasn't then.
It wasn't a surprise because the next time when I went was just last week. There was a last minute cancellation by the Prime Minister to go to one of these events. There was this student after the event, right? She went to the PMO lady or something. Najib tak datang ke? They have hope for people because they really, I don't know, like, I may sound very pro-government, but I'm not.
Yeah.
But they want basic facilities, right?
Yeah, because you see, the I don't know whether you were there for the election, because when I was at Kuching, you can see posters, okay, you know, give Team Anand a chance, you know, Anand fever and stuff like that. But you can see opposition posters, they go like, where's the 2.6 billion? Where's the 2.6 billion?
Right.
It doesn't capture the state's matters, you know, about like how the previous things are saying, no roads, you know, access roads and stuff like that.
That's interesting.
You really have to be there to actually experience this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that with us, Daniel. I mean, you know, I think you having gone to Sarawak for the first time and sort of experienced, not just, you know, a lot of people go to Sarawak for holidays and stuff like that, but you actually experiencing going to some of the rural areas and seeing some of the conditions there.
And what he pointed out was pretty interesting, shedding some insight on the political tickets that the candidates were riding on. And maybe just from that alone, it encapsulates perhaps how big a disconnect there is. Does that 2.6 billion really concern you at this point in time?
It doesn't concern if you don't have roads, water or
electricity,
school.
Yeah.
We're going to move on to our next caller. Johan is on the line. Hi, Johan.
Hi.
Hi.
With regard to Sarawak and smart motors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Topic this evening. Sarawak, Sabah is a very beautiful place. Their people is very intelligent, very smart. And I like the food, actually, especially the umai. Oh, I love it.
Okay.
But one thing for sure is that they've been dreaming about the Pan Borneo. They've been talking about the Pan Borneo since decades ago, since centuries ago, actually. I'm just putting it as an example anyway. Since 1,000 years ago, actually, they've been dreaming about it. Because most of Sarawakians have been in Peninsula. So they enjoy the Plus Highway. They enjoy this highway.
Right.
They enjoy this LRT. So when they went back to Sarawak, when they go back to their hometown, and where's the toll? Where's the highway? Where's the community? Where are these basic facilities?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things. They've been dreaming about it since 1,000 years ago. Anyway, that's my point.
And Johan, do you think that you know, West Malaysians who are beginning to have some sort of political understanding about how things work, do you think that some of these comments are ignorant about how East Malaysians are voting?
Kind of yes and no, actually, but it's starting to be kind of yes because we have a lot of tools, gadgets that can easily access to all this kind of information.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Terrific stuff. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And I think he does raise an interesting point there. We're asking you whether or not Malaysians are smart voters. Even if you think about the 2008 political tsunami, it's a combination of many, many factors, isn't it? It wasn't just a random sort of change in civic thought.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to move on to our third caller, who's originally our first caller. Surin is on the line. Hi, Surin.
Hi, good evening, guys.
Well, we can hear you right now. Tell us what you think about whether Malaysians are smart voters.
I would say yes and no. It all depends because, you know, in Sarawak or Sabah, they had all this while they've been voting the same government. But it's unfortunate that they do not have the same facilities like what Johan said. We have LRTs, MRTs, monorail and all that.
Sure.
And when you go there, I've been to Lahad Datu, of course, not during the election, but I've been to Lahad Datu. I've been to the where the factory, you know, they have palm oil and all that. It is, I mean, the roads are bad, you know, but people there are very nice. I like the people in Sabah, Sarawak, because they're very friendly. They don't care whether you're a Christian, Muslim, a Hindu or whatever. You know, they treat you very nicely at their place. And unlike here in West Malaysia, I mean, the politics here is more of kind of racial based.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, it is always race, you know. So, if you, I would say the people in Sabah and Sarawak really need all these amenities that they lack.
right.
Compared to West Malaysia.
And in our question today, we're asking about this sense of disconnect from Sabah and Sarawak, as in West Malaysians feeling the sense of disconnect from Sabah and Sarawak. So you feel that there is a disconnect, but the negative is on the West Malaysian side, the peninsula side.
They have a lot of negative thoughts about us, and vice versa from here. I know they say, oh, you go to Sabah, you know, you don't have this, don't have that. You know, if you want to go, if a teacher has to go to a Ulu place to go, she has to take a car and then take a sampan and then another sampan, you know. So they have to take, it's a long way to go to their destination.
Yep, thank you very
compared
much.
Compared to what we are doing here.
Thank you very much for that, Surin. So, you know, us Semenanjungs are, I suppose, just more lucky than we think we are. We just don't realize it.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it's interesting because we've heard quite a few times now that the politics in Peninsula is so race-based. And when you're looking at the scenario, the developments happening in East Malaysia, it's all about those basic necessities, about water, about electricity, about roads.
Very quickly, some texts and tweets that have come in. This one saying, you know, they vote practically for people who give development. Adnan is doing so much after decades of nothing happening. So why then did they vote for people who did very little for 30 years? These comments don't add up. Another one saying it only adds up if they believe they ask the latest for the latest promises, but forget that all the previous promises were broken. So it's a goldfish memory syndrome. This one saying, since Sarawakians don't care about the bigger picture, then why don't they leave the Federation? In that way, they get to do what they want and they get water, roads and electricity.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question. I'd love to hear what Sarawakians think about that question. You know, we'd love to hear from more folks from Sarawak to participate in this discussion. You can do so by calling us 03-771-09000. You can text us at 016-201-9000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Going to move on to our next caller. Kay is on the line. Hi there. Kay, are you there? Unfortunately not. We're going to move on to our next caller. Satish is on the line. Hi, Satish.
Hi, guys. Yeah, good afternoon. Yeah, I mean, the goldfish memory symptom, I think, is not only with Sarawakians or Sabahans, I think it's also with the peninsula guys also.
Yeah.
It's a tendency of us forgetting about details of how bad things are and how important it is for us to vote. Many of them are so afraid to vote. Some of them think voting is a joke, and some of them don't even vote. And some of them go really, really hard in the sense of, you know, they drive so many hours just to vote.
Yeah.
So I think if Malaysians don't change, as what certain ministers before this have identified, that you are as what your government is. You know, if how good your government is actually based on how good you are, how smart you are, how hardworking you are. So I think that resonates a lot in our country. We deserve the government that we get.
So just let me ask you about this question about whether there's a disconnect from West Malaysians with, you know, everybody who's in Sabah and Sarawak. Do you think that is a real thing?
It is. You see, the more disconnect we are, it's better for them to, for the federal government to actually impose things and win elections. And Sarawak is such a clear, the theory is so good. I mean, this is, despite all of what we are talking about, right? I mean, those guys who have first won the election, the federal government and everything, look at them. They're not bothered about it because the theory, their formula works so well. It baffles us how on earth they can win the election despite all the things that is going on right now. And hey, it doesn't matter. The formula works.
Thank you very much for that, Satish.
Yep, a couple of messages. This one saying, if they've been under the same government all this while and they still lack basic amenities, why do they keep voting for the same government? Another message saying, the concern isn't smart voters, the concerns here are smart politicians.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a simplicity to that, right? I mean, in terms of voting for a particular party or government, sometimes, you know, it is that connection that you have with the candidate on the ground
for sure.
That gives you that encouragement, optimism, hope, that something will change.
I mean, that's the idea of decentralization, isn't it? And that's why you have individual MPs taking care of individual areas, because you have local knowledge.
Yeah. Call us at 03-771-09000. Text us at 016-201-9000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We're asking you, are Malaysians smart voters? Do West Malaysians feel a sense of disconnect from Sabah and Sarawak? Tell us what you think. It's Talk Back. We'll be right back after this on BFM 89.9.
Psst. You there? Open your mouth and talk! It's Talk Back time on BFM 89.9.
It's Caroline and Ezra on Talk Back. We're asking you, are Malaysians smart voters? And are we well-versed with the nuances involved in local and national politics? Do West Malaysians feel a sense of disconnect from Sabah and Sarawak? We're headed straight to the phone lines. Temeli is here. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thanks for holding the line. Tell us what you think.
I just wanted to add, so I'm not from Sarawak, I am from KL, but I just wanted to add that I feel that making it a divide between East and West Malaysia is actually oversimplifying the issue a little bit, because we see many of the same dynamics play out here in West Malaysia.
And what would be a corresponding example over here?
With the Orang Asli. I'm actually a PhD student now doing field work in an Orang Asli kampung, and I was listening to the show as I was driving back home, actually. And I was thinking that we see many of these similar dynamics play out. And so I think it's more of a rural-urban divide and a question of education. Like when I sit in the village and talk to people about how they voted, like actually on a daily basis, people wear BN t-shirts. It's part of the clothes that they have. And so I often try to get into discussions about why. And again, it comes back to issues of electricity, roads, water. It's similar. It's a very similar issue. So I don't know if it's so much an East or West Malaysia issue as it is so much where urban folk really understand rural life and the issues that are most pressing to them.
Right.
And you feel that there isn't a disconnect between Peninsula and folks in East Malaysia?
I think there is a disconnect, but I would attribute it more to it being a rural disconnect from the urban reality.
As opposed to from East to West.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, Temeli. We're going to move on to our next caller. Madi is on the line. Hi, Madi.
Hi. Good evening. This is Madi.
Good evening.
Good evening, Madi. Tell us what you think.
Okay, let me give you some of my views. Since 1973, I've been traveling up and down. I worked there, and I've been all parts of Sabah and Sarawak, both interior and the urban areas, and I still have good friends there.
Right.
Okay, the difference is they are about 30 or 40 years back in development. Okay, the federal government has kind of ignored or played down the importance of them until very recently, when they became important for the vote bank. So that is the situation. So definitely in a state election, people would look for what is their immediate needs.
Sure.
I mean, the divide there itself is the rich are super rich and the poor are very poor. The other listeners who have called, they have said about roads and water, electric, are very true. People, you can't imagine, after so many years being part of Malaysia, they are so backward in their development.
Mm.
And it's all because of the national policy. Then we look back into what has happened now in the recent election and why the peninsula people are thinking that, you know, they have been let down and et cetera, is that because we have a vote bank of MPs from there who are supporting national policies. See, so there's a divide here. Really, you know, we are thinking of national policy. The MPs are making decisions on what is important for peninsula people. And at the same time, we have to look at their side that the Sarawakians and Sabahans do not really have many things that we take for granted, and we have it in peninsula.
Yeah.
So there is a different outlook entirely. And only when we go there and they come here that we see the things so evident. And to bridge that is a big task, but somewhere we have to start.
And do you think there's been improvement of late in terms of folks having more access to information and awareness about some of the key issues that are important to them?
Definitely, they're more aware. They feel that their voices are being heard. The chief minister is proactive, working for the local issues. So they feel that at least after all this time, and this can be a few generations, you know, they have, and there are more Sabahans and Sarawakians working in Peninsula, they go back and, you know, they say that hey, there is some kind of, at least we are catching up somewhere. Mm-hmm. Of course, the internet and other things help too.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much, Madi, for your perspective. And I mean, dialing it back all the way to 1973, it's nice to have that sort of wider lens as well. Caroline, we've had a lot of texts and tweets as well.
I'm trying to get through them. So Jeff saying, sadly, the rural folk in the peninsula in Sarawak are not smart. The result is proof. The result of the elections are proof of this. This one saying, hi, guys, to West Malaysians, especially those insulting people of Sarawak, democracy only exists when my chosen party wins, Tabulikala. And I think, you know, there is something in there in that, you know, at its most basic level, when you think and talk about democracy, to allow people to choose what suits them most.
Yeah.
What works for them, to go with parties that will give them what they want. And isn't this what happened? And, you know, is it deserving of the kind of fallout that it's been receiving online? This message saying, the poor cannot afford to have integrity. We should not judge the Sarawakians from our high horse.
We've got another caller here, Jeremy is on the line. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, guys.
Tell us what your view is.
I do believe that there is a disconnect from the Western nation point of view in politics, especially in the sense of what how the election pan out. I feel that when people start criticizing and saying that we are a bit backwards and stuff, yes, I'm born in Kuching. I'm a proud Sarawakian, and I feel that the result was actually quite good. Surprisingly, because...
And I've heard a lot of that. I've heard that sentiment quite a bit, at least speaking to the few Sarawakians, you know, prior to this discussion.
So tell us why you say it was good. Perhaps you can explain that.
Previously, the previous CM, the white-haired guy, he wasn't that great. I think everyone knew that since he was there for a million years and we were still at a terrible state.
Right.
But the last 2 or 3 years, when Adnan came in,
yeah,
it was quite obvious that there was a change in leadership, yeah, and a change in how we stand,
right,
how Sarawak stand in the sense of the whole Malaysia.
So would you say then you're attributing it to the personality or an individual rather than a party thing?
Yes. I do think Adnan is a very strong leader. I may not agree with the whole BN sense of things because, I mean, we are in West Malaysia. But from a state point of view, I do think he's a very good leader. And, of course, I'm also only giving him one term to actually make the changes. But if he does make changes, and he is if he's good for the future of Sarawak, why not? Seriously, why not?
Jeremy, very quickly, if you could just respond to a text that came in asking you, tell us, Jeremy, what do Sarawakians really want?
Our politics and what we want is definitely different from what West Malaysian is. And for us, okay, I can tell you the amount of flyovers we have there, 5 or 6.
Hmm.
The whole of Kuching, 5 or 6.
Hmm.
And this is the state. Sorry, this is the capital of Sarawak. And I can tell you that we are more concerned about putting food on the table of our family, of less jam, a lot of things which all of us also feel, but definitely 1MDB is not our priority.
All right.
I'm going to show you that.
Fair enough.
Thank you for that perspective, Jeremy. We're going to move on to our next caller. Kay is on the line. Hi, Kay.
Hello.
Hi, Kay.
Hi.
Tell us what you think.
I think we are not the smart voters, and the smarter person is always the politician.
We missed you there. The smarter person is?
Always the person who needs the chair, who's sitting on the chair right now.
Okay, and could you elaborate on your point?
Yeah. The smartest person is not us, the voters. It's always the person who sits on the chair because they need the chair. It's a multi-zillion dollar prize involved in this whole thing. So they need it.
Right. And do you feel that there's a disconnect between Sarawak and Sabah and Peninsula Malaysia?
Of course. Of course. Everybody knows that. Of course. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We can move on to our next caller. We've got Iwan on the line. Hi, Iwan.
Hi. Good evening, Caroline.
Good evening.
Okay. Yeah. I don't believe there's a disconnect between West Malaysians and East Malaysians, mm-hmm. but I do believe there's a disconnect between DAP supporters and East Malaysians.
DAP supporters and East Malaysians. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, all the negative things are said by the opposition supporters. They're not said by the UMNO people. Not said by the, even the PKR people don't say stuff like that. It's only the DAP people who said all those things. And there was even someone complained, hey, we already helped them collect 140,000 to build a bridge, and they don't vote us. So next time we don't collect for them. Hmm. And actually, that kind of response was also given during when PAS was in crisis with DAP. They said, hey, we already gave so much money to Kelantan when they had the flood. Hmm. Next time we don't give. Hmm. So I'm saying that there's no disconnect between West Malaysia and East Malaysia. It's just that DAP supporters have no clue. That's it.
But Iwan, just being a bit more specific, I mean, what do you think the constituent in Sarawak prioritizes in comparison to somebody in West Malaysia?
I don't know, actually.
And the reason I'm asking is because I think that perspective sometimes might,
be missing.
Be missing because, it's very easy for us to sort of look and say, well, that's why they're voting a certain way or certain patterns. I'm just wondering whether you had any thoughts to that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I can say, I think, okay, me, I'm a half Sarawakian myself, although I cannot claim to know what actual Sarawakians want. But I think basically we just want to be independent. That's it.
Thank you.
All right.
So,
Okay. Thank you very much. Moving on to our next caller, but that will be right after these messages. It's Talk Back, folks. We're asking you whether Malaysians are smart voters and whether, do West Malaysians feel a sense of disconnect from Sabah and Sarawak. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Time for the four T's. Tweet, text, talk. Talk back on BFM 89.9.
The number to call is 03-771-09000. You can text us 016-201-9000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Caroline and Ezra here as we're asking you the question, are Malaysians smart voters? Do West Malaysians feel a sense of disconnect from Sabah and Sarawak? We'd love to hear what you think, especially if you're a Sarawakian working in the Klang Valley. That would be great as well to hear from you.
Mohan has this to say. He said, food on the table and traffic jam seems to be the concern of people in the East. 1MDB, however, is an issue for every tax-paying Malaysian!
All right, thank you very much. We're going to move on to our next caller, Nigel, who feels that the opposition didn't deserve to win. Nigel, could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes. Hi, guys. My concern was, or basically why I felt that BN would win is because of Adnan's performance for the last 2-3 years, which was pretty impressive. So this vote was basically for Adnan, not for BN.
Yeah.
Right? And the opposition, who was the opposition? That's my question.
Yes.
There's nobody who stand out. Mm. There's nothing. It would be more of, I vote for opposition, I probably get another type. Mm. You know? That sort of thing. So the opposition lost it. Adnan won it. BN didn't win it. So what I'm hoping for is the parliamentary seats will go to, we'll have a better performance from the opposition for parliamentary seats later on, the next general election. But for state, I still believe, I think Adnan will do a pretty good job.
I think it's really interesting.
I
think it's really interesting that there are a lot of states, especially where their constituents are quite politically active and aware, where there is that nuance between who you vote for at a state seat and who you vote for at a parliamentary level.
Correct. And I think the Sarawakians would be better off looking after themselves with Adnan as the leader, and hopefully having voting for opposition in terms of balancing the national political balance.
All right, thank you very much. And we're hearing quite a bit of that sentiment today, talking about the individual rather than the party. You're going to go straight to some messages. This one saying, isn't Sarawak one of the richest states in Malaysia, the fourth, if I'm not mistaken? If so, why is the basic infrastructure so far behind? This one saying, I spent a good decade living in Sarawak from the mid-90s. I can tell that they're smart, mature voters. They know the political scenario in the country just like any US Malaysian. Mm. The new CM is the reason I believe in this result. It would have been far different if it was the previous CM. Another question asking, what do Sarawakans really want? If you're East Malaysian, do give us a call. Perhaps you can answer that. This one saying, before every election, the BN promises Pan-Borneo Highway. After every election, it's not delivered. Voters think that if a few districts vote against them, those districts will be punished by getting even less development. So voters are not stupid. Perhaps they just resigned to the futility of it all. One more says, the development of the place says everything about the intelligence of the voters, be at a national level or a state level.
Going to move to the phone lines. Dr. Xavier is on the line. Hi there.
Hi.
Tell us what you think.
Great topic. Anyway, I was there recently, and I would like to say this. The only thing Adnan won is not just because he promised things. It was done in a way that to Sarawakians who were over years have not been given any improvement in lifestyle. The education level in Sarawak is so weak and so poor. When we go campaigning, we have to talk to people who don't understand anything about 1MDB or even for GST. All for the promises that is made by Adnan or Barisan Nasional. During the whole period from the 24th to the 7th of this month, BN promised them 300 million ringgit in terms of grants, funds, and direct grants given to people on the ground. This is during the election time. These are poor people who do anything else and you go and throw money at them to win the back the state. If Adnan was so great, why spend all that money in order to buy votes and make a big winning? The main problem is people are poor. They are lacking in education. They're not given proper education. The Auditor General's report clearly says 85.9% of the schools in Sarawak are in depleted situation where you can't even send your own children to school. There are no proper hostels. There are no proper ashramas in Sarawak. So the only thing that I can say about Sarawakians is they think that they have it, but they are not putting the money in the right place to educate the people so that they can come up and stand up against all this talk about modernization. There is none. Kuching is the only modern city in whole of Sarawak, maybe Miri and Bintulu, where internet and everything is available. You go 5, 7 kilometers out of Kuching, you don't have internet access. You can't even use your handphone in some areas inside those areas. So what are we talking about development? People are being cheated in Sarawak, being told that they will get anything and everything. Money is thrown during elections. And finally, that's how Barisan Nasional and Adnan wins. So basically, it is a matter of educating the people and bringing their lifestyle up. Why are there thousands of Sarawakians working in Selangor, Johor, and Penang? If the job facilities are up there in Sarawak all these years, in 20 years, and Sarawak is one of the richest states in the country with 20 billion in their fixed deposits, why are Sarawakians flocking to Malaysia to work if the opportunities are there for them to find jobs?
I think we've definitely gotten a sense of that.
These are the questions that Sarawakians have to ask themselves before going to vote.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Xavier. We're going to move on to our next caller. Alan is on the line. Hi, Alan.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, sorry, I'm on a hands-free. Anyway, I think Dr. Xavier said quite a bit, most of it, but you know, what I want to emphasize is Sarawakians are absolutely bonkers if they think that 1MDB doesn't concern them. Hmm. I mean, where did they get the idea? I mean, what is it because what Adnan said? I mean, these guys have been hoodwinked this all their lives, and then Adnan comes and says 1MDB doesn't bother us. It's 42 billion, and GST has set in. Unless Sarawakians are not paying GST and whatever, I don't know what this is they are talking about.
Well, Alan, seriously. Alan, can I just ask you, if you were struggling to put food onto the table for you, yourself, your family, there's no electricity, there's no running water, but say, for example, if you feel that voting BN is one way to get it, would you consider that?
No, here's the question. That question again, Dr. Xavier asked the same thing. Hmm. Is it only what, now? They've been voting BN for the past, 20-30 years? Hmm. And what food, what water, what electricity, what road?
So, Alan, so I think if you've just joined us, I mean, I think there's been a discussion about the significance of the change in the chief minister. And I think, you know, when you're voting, there is that connection as to who that person is on the ground and what changes you can and cannot see. Does that play a factor? Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So you see, that's a disconnect. Of course, that's a disconnect. In Sarawak, DAP and also Sabah and, you know, PK and all that, they're struggling with tribal politics.
tribal politics is very strong there. I mean, DAP and PK, I don't know jack shit about tribal politics in this East Malaysian state, number one. Number two, it's personality-based. Adnan comes and say something, and everybody, I mean, we have to admit that, you know, the Sarawakians are a bit proud of themselves at this stage, well and fine, but of what?
All right, thank you very much, Alan. We're going to move on to our next caller. May is on the line. Hi, May.
Hello.
Hi, May.
Hello. I would like to say that, first of all, Rome was not built in one day. To date, Najib has gone to Sarawak the 50th time. The other thing is that I believe that there was no level playing field, even except for Lim Kay Siang. Hannah Yeo and many other influential opposition members were not even allowed to go to the voters and influence them in Sabah and Sarawak.
That's a fair point. Thank you very much, May. And we're going to move on to our next caller. Jay is on the line. Hi, Jay.
Hi.
Tell us what you think.
Okay, so I'm a Sarawakian and I'm living in in the Klang Valley. I've been working here for a few years.
Right.
So for me, I feel that as a Sarawakian, I would have voted for BN, but as a Malaysian, I would have voted opposition.
Right.
Yeah. And I do feel that there is a disconnect because I feel that the opposition, they don't even know what Sarawakians want, and they don't even prioritize the kind of issues that Sarawak is looking at. And they come in and they talk about GST and they talk about 1MDB, which is perfect. They are real issues, really real issues. But then again, Sarawakians, they want more autonomy. They want a chief minister who has more power in the state, in the federal government to bring up the issues.
Jane, can I ask you very quickly, I don't know when, at which point you joined us during our conversation this evening. Has the rhetoric you've been hearing surprised you in any way?
Sorry?
Have our conversations with our callers this evening, has anything surprised you in any way?
Not really, but I've only been listening for the last 15 minutes. But I hear everybody's grouses and complaints, and that's everything that I've been reading online about how stupid their options are for voting the government, this and that. But, I mean, my question is, the opposition doesn't even know the kind of issues that Sarawak is, Sarawakians emphasize.
Yeah.
How is it that they're going to prioritize the kind of issues, or how is it they actually know what Sarawakians want, and how is it that they're going to fight for Sarawak in terms of oil royalties and everything moving forward.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Yes, and you know, that's been one of the biggest criticisms, isn't it? Just parachuting politicians in during elections time and expecting it to work out for you.
I mean, you know, there's that notion of parachuting politicians, even within the context of Peninsular Malaysia as well. And even that is already looked at with, you know, a certain amount of disdain.
Oh, certainly, especially when geographically there's just no excuse.
That's right. And, of course, if you want to participate in this conversation, you can text us at 016-201-9000, tweet us at BFM Radio, or call us at 03-771-09000.
I'm going to read some out for you. This one saying, they get roads and utilities at the cost of keeping corruption in power that much longer. If we shouldn't judge them, who should we blame every time GST goes up? This one saying, yes, many West Malaysians are ignorant about Sabah and Sarawak. And Shane saying, the Borneo voters are not stupid. They vote for the party that can provide basic necessity. Survival in their daily life is what it's all about.
All right, folks, we've been speaking about whether Malaysians are smart voters. We've been asking this question about that sense of disconnect from Sabah and Sarawak when it comes to West Malaysians. And, you know, how political savvy are we? Or is there a maturity that's taking place? And, of course, if you can participate in this conversation by calling us at 03-771-09000. Azlin Balkis has news for you coming up right after this on BFM 89.9.
It's time for the Klang Valley's biggest conversation, Talk Back on the Evening Edition, only on BFM 89.9.
It's Talk Back here with Caroline and Ezra, and this evening we've been speaking through the pouring rain out there. If you're driving, do be careful, keep those wipers on. We're asking you the question, are Malaysians smart voters? We've been speaking about the political sensibilities between West and East Malaysia. We'd love to hear what you think. The number to call is 03-771-09000. Text us at 016-201-9000 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to move on to our phone lines. David is on the line. Hi, David.
Hi.
And your thoughts on the situation, David?
Okay, I find that there's a slight disconnect between urban and, if you say, the grassroots supporters. If you even look at even Peninsula Malaysia, you know, grassroots supporters have always been with the BN or Barisan, and the urban are a little bit more on the opposition. So I find that maybe we lose touch, the people in Kuala Lumpur and the big cities lose touch with the real issues that are affecting people in the grassroots areas.
All right. Thank you very much for that, David. We're going to move on to our next caller. Miss Chung is on the line. Hi, Miss Chung.
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay. First of all, I would like to beg the rest of the listener, please do not shoot me or scold me later after listening to my point, because truly this is really coming from deep down of my heart. I personally think that the Borneo people is really pulling the entire Malaysia down, because it's been like we have already went through three times of general elections. So the opposition still cannot win the election majority. The root cause is because that they lost most of the seats in Borneo. Of course, we know that the election system is not fair, all these things. But apart from that, because just now I heard there's a lot of East Malaysians also talking about their main concern is still basically all the basic necessity, which they are very much lacking of. But frankly speaking, these are all the opposition who are not in the power. Definitely, they can't promise all these things. That's why we look at the bigger picture. But if, let's say, they are not cooperative with us together to build a better nation, so I mean, personally, this is how I think.
Indeed. But do you think it's fair then, because, you know, what they're thinking then is better the devil you know. Like you said, if the opposition does not have power, isn't able to promise these things, are you willing to go the other way and have even less than what you have today?
Because we already have a very successful case study for example, the Selangor and also the Penang state government. Isn't that is not good enough to prove it to the East Malaysian to see what can we really do? So what, we have a bigger dream to chase. So we seek the cooperation for all the party, including the East Malaysian, to help us Malaysian, help our kids in the future to give a better Malaysia.
Now, what do you think of this? So we received a message saying the opposition wants Sarawakians to fight for their cause, that which is the cause of the opposition's, and not the other way around. So how do you answer that?
On this basis, I think let's give the opposition a chance to prove it to everybody, because I believe that they already prove it in West Malaysia. Why not in East Malaysia? But I know that they do have their own concern. That's why this is the part that I'm saying that they could be too, they are too selfish already. They are not looking at the big picture. So on that basis, let me quote you an example. If, let's say, in a classroom, there's a so-called elite class, or even those who are always called the C and D, is that possible that maybe we can just ignore the C and D and just go ahead and move on so that we can have a better future? That's all my point I want to say.
Well, thank you very much for calling and sharing your perspective, Ms. Chung.
But I don't know whether it's fair necessarily to make that comparison, because I don't think it's a level playing field.
Yeah. We're going to move on to our next caller. Rez is on the line. Hi there. Rez, are you there?
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Rez.
You're on the air.
My name is Rex, yeah?
Yeah. Rex.
Yep. My point is actually here. First, bear in mind that I'm not a proponent of Barisan Nasional, but to be honest, many of us East Malaysians have been disappointed by the opposition since way before the nomination days happened. If we look into the delving deeper in these issues, right, the problem is actually even between Pakatan Rakyat in Sarawak, before it became Pakatan Rakyat, there has been a problem since the previous PRN. And second thing is actually, when I've seen my friends, they are hardcore supporters of Pakatan, they defected to voted for Adinan, but when I asked them actually, why you voted for Adinan? The thing is actually no one will vote for Headless Chicken. And the second thing is actually the issues that being brought by the opposition is actually, is not that championing the, championing what the Sarawakians want. We understand that this is PRN. And then it's good if the opposition can bring that issues during the parliamentary election. Another thing is, actually, just want to say that the thing is, before you go into war, you must make a research first. What is your battleground?
Yeah, all right. Thank you very much for that, Rex. We're going to move on to some texts and tweets.
Yeah, very quickly, Lauren saying that people need to figure out what the priorities of Sarawakians are. Where were the West Malaysians standing for East Malaysia when KL was developed? And there's quite a point there. This one saying, I'm from KL and an opposition supporter. East Malaysians are smarter, more hardworking, honest and kinder than any West Malaysian. You don't know anything about East Malaysian. It looks like you never will. This one saying, I think a lot of Malaysians are simply partisans. And Kumar is saying, and this is in response to our Twitter poll a little earlier, asking whether or not West Malaysians feel a sense of disconnect from Sabah and Sarawak. Kumar says, not at all. It's just that I don't quite understand why both states have been deprived with quality developments. Grace says, big disconnect. Sabah-Sarawak voters are about their survival. Hashtag no roads. Hashtag schools with no walls. These are real problems.
All right, thank you very much for those texts and tweets. Moving on back to the phone lines, Hilmi is on the line. Hi, Hilmi.
Hello, hi. Okay, so the question posed by BFM is whether Malaysians are smart voters. But I think the more accurate question would be, which is the smarter party of the two, BN or the opposition? And I think, unfortunately, in this case, for the case of Sarawak, BN is the smarter party. BN outsmarted the opposition. Mm. This is because the opposition has all this while been campaigning on things like corruption, on things like better governance. But the level of development in Sarawak is such that they are not yet really concerned about those issues. Like the previous caller said, again and again, we hear about they are concerned with infrastructure. They are concerned about putting food on the table.
Yes.
So, but BN, on the other hand, they have been campaigning for greater autonomy. Of course, the new leadership also comes into the picture, better leadership. But also, maybe they have the advantage because they have been ruling Sarawak for so long, so they are more in tune with the needs and wants of the Sarawakians.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Hilmi. I mean, you know, it's really interesting because, just looking at that rephrasing, who has been the smarter party in relation to the voters and campaigning and working towards that angle as well.
Yeah, and that's why, localised knowledge is just so treasured and so important.
Thank you very much for your call, Hilmi. And our final caller of the day is Justin. Hi, Justin.
Hi. Hi. Good evening.
Good evening.
I think it's not fair to blame that West Malaysia actually the worst and bring us down. I think that we have in West Malaysia is very we have better infrastructure, okay, compared to East Malaysia. So East Malaysia is the people in there is not very well educated sometimes, and they are not provided a good infrastructure to have those internet and other information given. So they were based on just some mainstream media. So they don't really get the truth what is happening in Malaysia.
But what if it's the case that they do know those things, but they still vote the same way that they do because that relates to their immediate need?
Yeah. You are right. So their basic need, that currently they can't even fulfill their basic need. They can't have a food on their table, so it's better that they vote for the ruling party. So they provide them a better life.
All right, thank you.
Just give them a little bit of money then to buy their wood.
Thank you very much for your call,
Justin.
Did he
say give them a little bit of money to buy their wood?
I think it was talking about how general vote buying takes place in the country during elections, I guess.
One final message in. Kieran tried to call a little earlier, couldn't get through, but he said that people think that Sarawak is getting a bad deal, but there are places in KL that are poorer and 30, 40 years behind. I think that is indeed true. However, overall, it's quite a stretch to make the case that Selangor is getting a worse deal than Sarawak, but thank you very much for that.
Yeah, and received a whole variety of calls from folks, of course, within the Klang Valley, but also Sarawakians working in the Klang Valley. I think it would also be fair, I think, to get another Sarawakian here in BFM and get her perspective. I had a chat with Frida Liu, and this was our conversation. Frida, you're our other person from Sarawak here at BFM, but you've also lived and worked here in KL, in West Malaysia. Do you feel there's a sense of disconnect between West and East Malaysians?
Definitely. I remember just coming here and how in the early days and how people think in Semenanjung and East Malaysia, they do think differently. And one of the apparent things going back for the voting, for the polls, was that the thinking is different, our expectations are different, how we see things are different in terms of what our needs are. So maybe there's a little bit of that sort of my peninsularized view of things already, having lived here for so long.
And what do you think make up the priorities of Sarawakians?
I think we have more voice. Maybe this is something that we've forgotten what when this treaty was signed between Sabah, Sarawak and Malaya. I think we forgot these things, and these things that we agreed upon many years ago is being revived and being looked at. We see that English in education, all these matters that were kept aside, they're all surfacing right now. And I think you do see that kind of positive change in Sarawak as well. So those needs are of important concern. I mean, I had a reunion dinner with a couple of friends, some of us who have flown in from Peninsula and some who are living there. And we do have differing views. And if you talk to some of my friends who are in business, they seem to be contented with the status quo of things. So you can see how there is a disparity on both sides.
Are Sarawakians aware of how people in West Malaysia view them and their politics, or you and your politics?
I think they are aware, but these are probably not of immediate concern. If you look at the rural communities, they've got other more basic needs and requirements that they want right now. And maybe issues like corruption and those matters are not on the top list of priorities. So they are aware, definitely. But if even within Sarawak, there is a divide between the rural and the urban communities, and that you can see in the poll results as well.
That was Frida Liu, and giving her point of view as a Sarawakian, and of course, you know, working and living here in the Klang Valley as well. Thank you for all your texts, tweets, and calls. And certainly, I think more than anything else, the general sense that I get is that everybody wants what's best for Sarawak, and is trying to figure out how we actually get there.
Well, everyone wants what's best for Sarawak, but that message that I read out a little earlier doesn't seem to think so, in that the opposition wants Sarawak to fight for their cause and not the other way around. So perhaps not everyone.
Not everyone, yeah. Maybe. All right, thanks very much for tuning in to Talk Back. It's BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.